Episode is brought to you by Hawkeye Protective Service. The world is a scary and terrifying place right now, and what's worse is the threats to our daily lives are constantly evolving. If you aren't 100% sure that your home and business are fully protected against these threats, call Hawkeye Protective Services. At Hawkeye, we are fully capable of diagnosing any security and safety risks and offer solutions to remedy these issues. Along with our partners, we can promise full peace of mind and 100% satisfaction. Curious about how we can help you? Use the code JNFS and we will waive 10% off your final price of your order. Do not wait. JNFS and you will get 10% to secure your home and your business today. Hawkeye. Link will be in the bio, so make sure you click on that link, Hawkeye Protective Services. Welcome to another episode of the Jones and Podcast, brought to you by Jones for Sports. We make sports better. And today we have another very special guest, and I have to say very special because whenever we have another Cowboy fan on the podcast, it's always a good podcast. So, you know, I'm in good spirits when we got another fellow Cowboy on the podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, Ben Holloway. What's up, Ben?
Hey, Sean. Good evening. Happy to be here. And yeah, two Cowboys fans connecting. What do you know? Should be a fun time.
Absolutely. Today, we have some really good things to talk about with the Cowboys, at least when it comes to our last game, getting a W against our rivals, the Eagles. But before we get into that, Ben, talk about what you do as far as social media content.
Yeah, sure. Appreciate it. So I am one third of the Death Taxes and Sports podcast. My Twitter, my personal page is at Ben DTS Podcast. The podcast page for Twitter is at DT Sports 33. But it's really exciting. My friend, we all went Johnson Wells together. Three of us, me, Jeff, nice. Gary. We have crossed episode 50, I believe, are at either 57 or 58. And nice. We got one last show planned on Thursday. And then, you know, we're kicking it to 2023 like everybody else.
Nice. That's what's up, man. Well, I'm definitely going to be sharing that. And I've been supporting. I'm going to keep supporting you guys because you guys do such a great job with your podcast. And I can't
wait to be a part of it. We got to have you on too. Don't worry.
Absolutely. I can't wait for it. It's going to be awesome. But so now let's get into what we really came to talk about, which is our Cowboys, them boys, getting the W against the Eagles. First, I just want to know, how do you feel after that W? What are your thoughts?
So it's kind of like a little bit mixed because I kind of figured we would win in a close game. You know, the good, of course, is Dak bounced back, horrible, you know, interception. And after that, for about 2.5 quarters, he was almost perfect. So he bounced back really well. Defense gave up a lot of yards, gave up a lot of points, but, you know, got them turnovers. But if I'm just being fully honest, and most Cowboys fans are not.
I'm glad you said that.
And that's why the people that hate the Cowboys don't actually hate the team. They hate the fans.
Right, absolutely.
But it's kind of one of those things that as much as I know any given Sunday and all of that, if I'm being just completely honest, I don't know how much faith I have in them beating Philly with Jalen Hurts rocking and ready. Minshew's good, but
yeah.
With four turnovers, they still scored 34 points.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Hurts ain't going to give you the ball four times. It ain't going to happen.
Not going to happen.
And I just want to say this before I hit it to you, Sean, is three games in a row, Dak has, at the end, so the Texans, horrible interception. If it was anybody besides the Texans, we would have lost.
Right.
First and goal at the three. Then you go to the Jaguars, the end of the game, end of the fourth quarter. Defense gets the turnover. One first down, game's over. Doesn't get it. Saturday night, at the end of the game, at the end of the fourth quarter, you get a touchdown, 44-34, game's over. So it's hard for me to get to a place where I'm like Dak in the playoffs in the bigger moments, because those are big moments. Playoffs are bigger moments for me to be able to be like, because it's like at the end of that game, Saturday night against Eagles, you tell me Burrow or Josh Allen or Mahomes or even Brady at this stage, Rodgers even at this stage, they're getting a touchdown, game's over. That's it.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's kind of one of those like, man, like you're kind of like the good but can't be great. So can you show us that you're great?
Right. I'm with you. I agree with you 100%. I think that, yeah, there's some good signs that he could finish games, but he's also shown that he can't finish games and do have turnovers. And I believe the last three games, like you said, he's had two turnovers at least. And they've cost us. Those turnovers have cost us because I'm not mistaken. What's the stat? I think it was four out of six of those turnovers.
The Jags game ended with the pick six. That wasn't
Yeah,
his
for
fault.
sure. And I believe four out of six of those turnovers, if not three out of six of those turnovers, resulted in points for the other team. So that's
Well,
not
yeah,
good.
because the Texans won. It's like you gave them the ball at like the 10-yard line, or maybe
Right.
even inside the 10.
Yeah.
And then as the Jaguars were behind by whatever they were, 14 points maybe at the time,
17, 17 points.
you throw a horrible pick at your own 20. Like
Yep.
the picks are coming at the worst part of the field.
Exactly.
Like it's never good to throw picks when you're on offense in the red zone,
Yep.
but at least the other team has a long ways to go. He
Exactly.
keeps on giving the ball to the 20-yard line. It's like, damn, man, like come on. And I
Absolutely.
just gotta be honest. Where is the pass rush? It doesn't exist. What is
It's
going
on.
on? You got Parsons healthy. You got D-Law healthy. I don't care about anybody else on the defense. You got those two
Right.
healthy. You should be hitting the damn quarterback.
Absolutely. There's no excuse for it.
And
And
part of that is like, okay, well, Dan Quinn, as amazing as a job he's done last year and this year, which he has, maybe you got to change something a little bit, because this
right.
is three games in a row where we're not getting a sack. Like if
Right.
that's not ringing any bells in that building, then I don't have any confidence that we're gonna do anything in January if they ain't spending time working on that.
Absolutely. I agree with you because, like we both know, defense wins championships, and you got to go into the playoffs hot, especially your defense, because the defenses you're going to see in the playoffs are going to be way better than that. So if you
Not
think
only
you're
that,
going to.
we got injuries in the secondary. We know that.
Right, for
So how
sure.
do you cover up a weaker secondary? You hit the quarterback so the secondary doesn't get exposed.
Exactly. You got to
So
get.
there's more pressure on the pass rush to get pressure, and they ain't doing it.
Yeah, they're definitely not, and it's looking real bad. Because I was, if I don't believe we're number one anymore. But I know at one point we were number one in quarterback pressures and sacks and stuff like that. So,
For like the first 10 weeks,
yeah, we were doing
we
a great
were.
job, doing a
And
great
then
job.
against the Texans, they didn't get a sack, which is okay, fine. You took a nap and then you finally woke up from your nap. But even against the Jaguars and against the Eagles, like you can't get one sack.
Yeah,
Like
that's
just
bad.
one. Like, damn. Like, come on.
Yeah, that it was a really bad look, and it's very scary, like you said, to think about if that's what we're gonna let up in the January, then we don't have much of a shot. Not as well, we've let up 30 points in the last three games as well, and that's horrible. You can't do that, especially coming in January. That's
Yeah,
not
for
gonna
sure.
hold up.
And I mean, it's kind of like, okay, the Eagles, this is crazy too. They showed this stat, not to talk about the Eagles because we don't know, I'm just kidding, but like they showed this stat and I was like, holy crap, how is he not a starting quarterback? I'm sure you saw it.
Right.
Minshew going into that game had 41 touchdowns and
Yep.
12 interceptions.
Yep.
I'm like, what the hell? How is this
Absolutely.
dude not a starter?
Yeah.
Forget his record. Those are crazy stats.
Yeah, he's definitely shown that he could be a starting quarterback in this league. He had a nice run with the Jaguars. He's definitely shown it. So,
And those two interceptions Saturday night, those were two amazing plays by the
Right,
secondary.
exactly.
That had nothing to do with him. Those
Right.
interceptions, they were like the defensive guy. Those are maybe two of the most impressive interceptions I've seen, like maybe in my life. Regardless
Right.
of the Cowboys, I say the same damn thing if it was the Chiefs. Like, those were incredible interceptions where the receiver literally caught it.
Right.
And then by the end of the play, the defender had it.
Absolutely. Yep, that's a fact. What are your thoughts on as far as it being against the Eagles, the fact that we won, we got our revenge against the Eagles? Because like they said, against us, when we had our backup quarterback, Cooper Rush, they were, you know, their coach was saying some things, their players were saying some things, and now we played them against their backup quarterback, and we got the W this time. So how does it feel that we got our revenge on them?
I mean, it's one of those things that I think most reasonable Cowboys fans, which aren't that many, but if we had lost that game, we'd have some legitimate questions about, like, really, guys? Like, come on. Like, yeah. They beat us with our backup. We got to do the same damn thing.
Right.
And we did. And I told my buddy, who's a big Eagles fan, I'm like, listen, it actually might not be the worst thing that Hurts isn't around, because everything they're saying is it's, you know, not a major injury.
Right.
And y'all didn't show your full hand when you played Cooper Rush.
Exactly.
And we didn't show you our full hand when we played Minshew. So, granted, it, you know, of course, I don't believe in knock on wood, but knock on wood if you want to. Hopefully Dak and Hurts are both healthy, and hopefully we see a third matchup, because that's when we'll really see, you know, both teams completely, you know, empty the playbooks, you know, all decks on hand type deal.
Right.
But, yeah, we needed to win that game. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, that was huge. And I got a lot of Eagle fan friends, and, you know, it was good to get that back on them. But like you said, overall, I wasn't very happy on how we got the W, because we let up too many points, and Dak turned over the ball.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then I'll give you my answer, but let me hear your answer first. So we scored 40 points. So you think, you know, that's obviously great, score 40 points. But what was your opinion on the play calling on that game, Kellen Moore's play calling?
I'm glad you brought that up, because I used to be his first, you know, first 2 years, 3 years, I was a fan of Kellen Moore, but as of late, I am not a fan of Kellen Moore. I think at times he gets too Dak heavy and wants Dak to, you know, pay, you know, show off that $40 million a year he's getting, and, you know, really make Dak the man and stuff like that, when there's obviously times where we need to run the ball, especially when the stats show that we're at our best and we win games when we run the ball effectively. So the play call in that game overall, I wasn't too mad at it. I think he did what he normally does. But overall, I can't be too upset with the play calling. But there's days where I'm really upset with the play calling, where fourth and two, when they're going for it, they don't go for it, or they do go for it, and they do the normal ISO up the middle, and everyone knows it's coming. Like, there's just some times where I'm really upset with his play calling, but I think he could spice it up a little bit. I think we have enough talent on that team where we can do things like the San Francisco 49ers. Now, obviously, we can't be as great as Kyle Shanahan, but I think we can spice it up, because we have the talent. We have guys like the kick returner that I think we can use in our offense. So I think Kellen Moore has his moments, but overall, I'm starting not to be a fan of him.
Yeah, for that game, it was kind of one of those. It reminded me of a little bit of Jason Garrett, first and 10.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Hand the ball 1 yard. First and 10, hand the ball 2 yards.
Yep.
First and 10, hand the. I'm like, guys, can we do play action on one of these first downs?
Thank you.
It was like, guys, the running, I understand, you know, you keep the defense honest even when the running game's not working. Like, it, you know, that's all true. But, like, god dang, after the interception, Dak was balling.
Right.
Like, to me, that was the game, like, you let him throw it 45, 50 times.
When
if
he's hot,
on fire, the way he was on fire, like, bro, I'm sorry, we're cutting up the Eagles secondary like nothing, then just let them sling it.
CD's getting open, having a field day. Let those guys cook.
I felt like they he felt it just was like, it reminded me of the, holy crap, let's run it on first and 10 every time.
Yeah.
And let's see if the defense is going to be surprised. Oh, wait, they're not, because you're doing it every single time.
Right, come on.
It's like, just do a, even if just do a play action like once, like, god dang.
Absolutely. Like it,
and they were, so Zeke, you know, finished 3.4 yards average. Pollard was worse on the ground, 2.1. Like, that isn't anything. Combined, I got to do a little math. Take out Dak's rushing. 25 rushing attempts between Pollard and Zeke, and 74 yards.
Wow.
25 for 70. Like, come on.
Yeah, it's not good.
Like, and then you got Dak with 350 yards almost.
Yeah.
Like, just let him sling it. He was right. Balling.
Right. If he's balling, like you said, he went one point where he was just perfect. So
it was like after the interception, something crazy was like out of the next 20 passes, he was like 18 for 20.
Right. Yeah. He was definitely slinging the ball. And like, goes back to what I was saying about Kellen Moore. Like, there was one point in the game where I think it was 4th-and-3 or something like that. And we're in our red zone, and it was towards the end of the game. And they keep, it annoys the heck out of me when they do these fake plays.
They should have never kicked that field goal. That upset me. You make them go down the field if you don't get it.
Drive the field.
You go for that, man. Especially if we're talking about how good Dak was throwing the ball.
Absolutely.
Like, come on. Run a little pick play. That teams always get away with the pick plays a little bit in the end zone. So that's all you got to do.
Exactly.
Or play action and you roll out. Like, one thing, I got to be honest, I don't understand why they don't do it more often, even when Kellen Moore is calling good plays. Like, seems like every time they do a bootleg, a good play happens.
Yeah, but
then absolutely. You never see him do a bootleg. Like, I don't get it. Like, it seems like every time they do a bootleg and have Dak roll out of the pocket, it's like a big play happens, but then there'll be a full game where that doesn't even happen.
Yep, I agree with you 100%.
It's like, we should not, as fans, be able to call plays better than the play caller.
Right.
That should not be a thing. It should not, and it, you know, it's across the league, though, for being fair. Like, it's not unique to us, but it's, like, one of those things that's, like, you know, 3rd-and-1 or 4th-and-1, almost every time a team does play action, it doesn't matter what team or what quarterback, it works.
Yeah, it's hard to guard, especially in the red zone.
Play action on, like, 3rd-and-short or 4th-and-short probably works at least 85% of the time.
Yeah, I agree.
And you still see teams, no, we got Zeke, or we got Derrick Henry, or we got this, let's pound it. And how many times you see, like, a 4th-and-1 and they don't even get the one, they lose yardage.
Yep, absolutely. The
defense 100%. Is just right ready for it. It's like,
ready for
do
it.
Do a play action.
Exactly, because I used to play high school football all the way up into college, and goal line defense is one of the hardest things to do because you have to stay honest to the run. So if you do play action, the defenders are automatically taking a step forward for the run because they have to get there early. That leaves them a step late for the pass. That's why, like you said, play action works so well, especially if you have a great play fake. If you have a great play fake, it's going to work almost 9 out of 10 times.
Yeah, I almost feel like this would be somewhat at towards the end of the game. I think they're at the 3, like you said. This may be a tiny bit risky, but do like a have like trips to the right and do a screen pass to CeeDee Lamb and see what happens.
Oh, exactly.
Like, give him some space. Let Schultz and them boys block and see if he can get in. It's like, well, absolutely. I'd feel better doing that than running Zeke up the middle.
Yep.
They didn't even go for the damn thing, and they took a delay of game. Like, I was like, can you call a timeout and then go for it after the timeout?
Exactly. Still had 2 timeouts left. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't forget.
Like, all the analytics say that kicking the field goal actually decreased their chances to win.
Exactly, because they're trying to score 7 anyways. Regardless, like, if they only had 3 to go, still, don't give them a shot to make them score 7. Make them do it.
Yeah, you go for that, and if you don't get it, you got them pinned down at the 3. Yeah, they don't need a touchdown, but they need, so that's 47 yards to midfield, another 10 at minimum. They need at least 57 yards.
Yep.
And now you're not playing prevent defense because you don't need to.
Right.
Which, it's funny. Talk about prevent defense. Tell me the last time you were like, holy crap, that worked.
Right, exactly.
I don't understand why it still exists. I it hate never it. Works.
It never works because it gives
never the every way too much space. Yep. Way too much space. And everyone's like, oh, well, you prevent defense. You're giving up yards. Okay, well, usually when you play defense, you don't want the other team to get yards.
Regardless, exactly.
Like, the fact that prevent defense exists is, like, mind-blowing to me because it never works. 100%. We did the same thing to Aaron Rodgers. We did the same thing to Aaron Rodgers. We did that incredible throw to Richard Rodgers, wasn't it? No, yep. Jared Cook. Uh-huh. Same thing.
Yeah, he did it twice.
The play before, we sacked his ass because we blitzed.
Yep.
And then the next on that 3rd and 25 or whatever it was, they rushed 3 and he had all day.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't work, guys.
It's nuts. I hate it. I absolutely do hate it. But now I want to ask you another question. Yeah, how
let's
do you feel about, we already locked in at number 5. How do you feel about our chances going forward in the playoffs? Right now, if the playoffs were to start today, we would be playing the Bucks. So starting off with the Bucks, how do you feel if we were to match up against the Bucks first round?
It feels like that has been almost a sure thing for like a month. And I feel both teams are like almost like, can we get there already?
Absolutely.
Like, I almost feel like both teams are kind of just trying to slogging through the mud, like getting towards that game because everybody knows that game is happening. Yep. Because it's funny, as bad as the Bucks look, and they do, they look bad for long stretches of like every game. It's like, you telling me you have more faith in, because if you're saying somebody else is going to win that division, you're telling me you trust either Andy Dalton or Jameis Winston, whoever they play, or you trust Sam Darnold more than you trust Brady. Like, no.
Exactly.
Like, come on. You really think Brady is going to lose to Carolina next week? Like, no way. It's not happening. Because that would be like almost like, okay, you have 7 rings, so you're the GOAT, but you literally lost to Sam Darnold and you lost the playoffs because you lost to Sam Darnold. That would always be on his record. It would always be there. Sure. He ain't letting that happen. He's not an idiot. He knows. He knows what that conversation would be. So he ain't going to let that happen. As far as our chances, you know, in that game, it's, you know, Brady in the playoffs, we know, is another animal.
Yeah.
And as much as they have struggled, it's kind of like, well, they still got Godwin, still got Evans, still got Julio, still got Gage, still got Lenny Fournette, Rashad White. Like, you got weapons.
For sure.
Our offensive line may be compromised, and that's fine, but shit, our defensive line hasn't exactly looked great lately, what we've been talking about. So, and Brady is the ultimate mastermind of getting it off, like, just before you hit him. Like, directly before. Sure. So, and he's never lost to us.
Yep.
Not like a 15-game sample size, but it's 4-0. And it's just one of those things that it would be really hard for me to say, here, let me go put money on the Cowboys to win that game.
All right.
Just being honest, like, I got to see it happen. You haven't beat Brady, so go do it.
I agree. Definitely. I think it's something you got to watch and see.
But I think that if they did, it would almost be like, kind of like, I almost feel like they would feel less pressure after that. Compared to more pressure.
Right.
They'd be like, all right, well, we crossed that hurdle. Now what can we do?
Exactly.
It would be like a boost of the confidence they got through that. But you got to get through it first.
Yep.
That's but I will say this. You know, being Cowboys fan for as long as I have been, you know, I'm 35. I don't know your age, but.
In 2 months.
What'd you say?
I'll be 32 in 2 months.
So there we go. We've seen enough home playoff losses that I'm like, for the longest time this year, I'm like, yo, I don't want the division.
Yep,
we lose in the playoffs at home anyways. So let's see if we go on the road if we still lose. Because it goes back to Romo. They lost the 13-3 team, lost to the Giants
twice
at home.
Twice.
Like, let's see what happens when they go on the road.
Yep.
because we've seen it enough. They don't win at home.
For sure. Sure
I mean, ever since that Jerry opened that, you know, his billion gazillion dollar stadium, Jerry World, it's like they're probably only win probably 60% of the time at home.
Yeah, I agree.
Because it ain't a home field advantage, really.
It ain't, because other teams come in there and they're louder than us sometimes.
It's one of those things that let's see what they can do. Let's see if they can win on the road. Maybe part of it is at home. They feel the pressure and the expectations at home in the playoffs. And, you know, now, you know, they go on the road, you know, maybe there'll be less expectations. So maybe they'll do better. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, no, I agree. I definitely hear what you're saying. We definitely haven't had any success at home. But I will say this. I think out of all the matchups that we could have out of those top four teams that have the division wins, that the Bucks are probably the best out of all. I mean, not the best, the best matchup. I don't think we want to see all those other teams. Well, outside of Vikings. Vikings, we already beat them, but beating a team twice in the NFL is always hard. So I don't want to count.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely want to start the playoffs with Brady compared to starting with the Eagles or the Niners.
Right.
That's for damn sure.
That's for damn sure.
You're like, let's see if we can get past Brady, and then we'll see if we get those other matchups. But it just feels like, you know, you can't anticipate things in sports, and just because you think it's going to happen doesn't mean it's going to happen. But
oh, absolutely.
It feels like it's almost destined that we'll finally slay the dragon. Brady, find a way to win that game, yeah. And then we got a third matchup with the Eagles. It just seems like, it just feels like it's like building towards that.
I agree.
Like it just, I'd be almost like, and we both just said we wouldn't pick us to beat Brady. So it's like, okay, now we're kind of saying the opposite, but it just right. feels like it's like a collision course that the Eagles and Cowboys need to play each other with. Both teams having their starting quarterbacks.
I agree. I think that's the storyline that's going to play out. And I want it to play out that way. I think that's what we need. That's what the fans need on both sides. That's what football needs. So, and it's pretty interesting because if you look at the playoff picture right now, the whole NFC East is in the very interesting. So,
but as Stephen A. likes to say, that bad man is coming. For the longest time, the Packers were, like, extinct. And then everybody in front of them started losing. Yep. And they started winning. Yep. And now, I don't know if it's a sure thing if they went out, but I feel like it's almost a sure thing if they went out, they're in.
Yeah, they definitely got a fighting chance. So that's definitely going to be interesting to look out for.
I know we're talking Cowboys mostly in playoffs, but I just got to get this off my chest.
For sure.
Disappointed in the Lions, man. I was looking forward to, like, 2022, 2023. We got the Jaguars, and we got the Lions in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, nobody would have said that in August. I'm like, come on, man. Absolutely. Let's get the Jaguars and the Lions in the playoffs the same year. Like, let's see it.
Then they freaking
lay an egg and get Carolina just mauls them on the ground. I was disappointed, man.
I didn't see that coming, and I agree with you. The Lions was definitely a team that I was rooting for this year. I wanted to see them in the playoffs. That would have been dope. That would have definitely.
Like I said, if you told somebody in August, you know what, this year the Lions are going to make the playoffs and the Jaguars are going to make the playoffs, people would have looked at you like you had 10 heads. And then
for sure.
it was almost going to happen. And then, I mean, I guess the Lions could still get in, but they definitely blew a good opportunity by losing that game.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. But yeah, we'll see how these last 2 weeks play out. It'll be definitely interesting. My last question that I have for you before we get out of here is, before I ask you the question, let me just say how my thoughts are is on, I want to talk about Dak for a second.
Mm-hmm.
I was definitely a big fan of Dak when he first joined the team because he had a beautiful start. Everything was looking great. And, you know, he got paid and he also had that horrible injury. And I haven't been so big on Dak. In the beginning I was, but then I started seeing he wasn't so consistent. And he still has great moments. I don't want to discredit him fully. I still, you know, root for him. I still, obviously, he's on our team, so I have to root for him. I you know, I wish him success, but I'm not the biggest fan of him anymore because I don't see. I'm starting to see glimpses of Romo when he's turning over the ball at the worst opportunities, like you said earlier. So I just want to know your thoughts on Romo. I'm still a fan. I still want to see him win, but I think in order for us to get to the ultimate goal, which is the Super Bowl, he has to be on his best and our team has to be on our best. I don't think he's that good enough to lead us there by himself. I think our defense needs to be on point. And the rest of our offense needs to be on point in order for that to get us to a Super Bowl. Other than that, if you think he's going to do something like Brady and just drag a team all the way to the Super Bowl, I'm not that big on Dak. But what are your thoughts on Dak?
So we talked about the defense and the lack of sacks and, you know, that Anthony Brown, our number two corner, going out is definitely a big hit. The secondary's been weaker and all that. It's like, okay, well, Dak, guess what? Lamb is there. Gallup is there.
Yep.
T.Y. Hilton is apparently there.
Yep.
Schultz is there.
Yep.
Zeke is there. Mm-hmm. Pollard is there.
Yep.
For the time being, Tyron Smith is there. Yep. Until he probably gets hurt again, hopefully not. But for the time being, he's there. So you can talk about the defense and what they're not doing, but Dak, you got everybody.
Yeah.
Nobody's hurt.
Yep.
You got your whole squad. So, like, it's one of those things that I feel like if all of that stays true and the offensive guys stay healthy, if he don't do it this year, like, man, I think he'll just be a good quarterback that never wins a Super Bowl, kind of like Romo, to your point.
Yeah.
It's like this is sort of a weaker NFC as well. Like,
yep.
You got the Niners with a third string quarterback that's, you know, give him credit. He's played really well.
He is.
But he has not played in the playoffs yet.
Yep.
He has not had to lead a game-winning drive yet.
Yep.
Which at some point he's going to need to do that.
Absolutely.
And the Vikings, like, come on. I mean, they're barely, like, their point differential is, like, plus +5.
Yeah, for sure.
They should be, like, a 500 team.
Yep.
They don't blow anybody out. They win at the end all the time.
Exactly.
So the Vikings, yeah. If they go to Super Bowl, a lot of people are going to be shocked.
Yep.
And then, of course, you got the Eagles and the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like Eagles, Cowboys, 49ers, like most years there's some better teams. It's like this is the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
If you are the guy, you do it now because your whole offense is healthy.
Yep.
You got everybody on offense.
Yep.
So, Dak, I'm sorry, you ain't got them excuses. You don't have them because you got everybody
right.
on offense. So, let's see what he can do. I mean, like I said, that's what gives me a tiny bit of pause is the top 5 or 6 quarterbacks against the Jaguars when they need a first down to end the game, and then Saturday night, touchdown ends the game. You got to close the game.
Yeah,
you don't give the ball back and rely on your defense.
100%.
If you're the quarterback and you can end the game and you're the guy, you end the game.
100%.
And if you can't do it now, then the stakes are a little bit higher in January.
Exactly.
Just a little bit. So, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, I feel like the Romo thing is a pretty good comparison, but, you know, He's got the opportunity this year to prove us both wrong, and let's see if he can do it.
Yeah, I agree. I absolutely agree. I think this is the time to do it. There's been a lot of talk about us, and now you can't put the excuses on anyone but yourself because, like you said, you're healthy. You got your full offense. So,
Sean, before we go, I just got to say this. I know he's old. I know he's really old. But don't you think that Jason Peters should be, like, starting?
Yeah, I agree.
Isn't he better than what we got?
I agree. I 100%
agree. Like, he might be 41 or 42, whatever he is, but damn it, if he's better than the 30-year-old, then play that guy.
Exactly. It makes the most sense. You got to put in the guy that knows what he's doing.
Every time you see him come in the game, they do something well.
I was just going to say that.
So just put him in the game. Like, I don't get it.
I agree. I think that's one thing that we struggle with as a team as far as coaching. We don't make good adjustments.
Because they always say on your offensive line, you take your best five guys.
Yeah.
Well, if Jason Peters is one of those five guys, then there's no reason he's on the bench.
Yeah, I agree. No matter how old he is, if he's doing his job the right way, then you got to have him out there. You just have
to. Who knows? Maybe that's an adjustment that's coming. Maybe.
I hope so. I hope it's we see some adjustments coming in the playoffs because that's what the game is about.
Well, you got to make you think about it. You got if they're healthy, you and Tyler Smith, he's a rookie, he's bound to make some mistakes. But if sure. they're healthy, think about this. You got freaking Tyler Smith, Tyron Smith, Zach Martin, and Jason Peters. Those are some big boys.
Yeah.
Those are some really, really big boys.
Absolutely.
You want to talk about dominating the line of scrimmage in the running game? Like, those are some maulers.
For sure.
And that's what you want to be as a team. Then why not put those big boys out there?
Right. And it's going to give your offense the best chance at success to do both.
Honestly, if they don't put him in the starting lineup, like, that's going to annoy me. That's for sure.
Yeah. I agree with you. I agree with you. So. Thank you, Ben, for joining the Joneson podcast. We appreciate you. Shout out your podcast one more time. Let the people know where they can find you.
Yeah, appreciate the invite, and we will definitely have you on the Death, Taxes, and Sports podcast. Myself and Gary and Jeff all went to Johnson & Wales together. All the newest episodes are pinned on my Twitter profile at Ben. DTS podcast, and the Twitter page for the podcast is at DTSports33. Looking forward to closing out the year strong, and then hopefully big things are coming in 2023.
Absolutely. Ben, Merry Christmas and a happy holidays and a happy new year. And like you said, can't wait to join you on the podcast. Have a good
one. Awesome. Appreciate it. You too, buddy.
All right. Take care.